Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you know what the scripture says, don't you? That men love darkness. We're sitting here in darkness today. I'm sorry I'm coming across so dark. I'm inside a McDonald's here in Jackson, Kentucky. Had the great honor of being invited this morning. I get the opportunity to speak to chapel service at Kentucky Mountain Bible College. Now, most of you probably never heard of it, and I hadn't heard of it before. About 6 months ago, with my buddy Tyrell, who's a student at Kentucky Mountain Bible College, is on the queue with us here every morning. But Pastor David Street, who I know his son Andrew through Operation Save America, invited me to come down and speak to chapel. So I came down last night, and that's why it's dark in here. That's why I'm in McDonald's. It wasn't real good internet in our room. Tyrell let me borrow his hat because I forgot mine, so I didn't dare go on the air so people can see what I really look like with my gray hair. I'm going to leave it. Tyrell, you can have your hat back. I'm going to that lightens up my face a little bit and doesn't show all those moles and everything I got on. So got a little bit of vanity still left inside of me. Appreciate you all joining with us here this morning. What is it, April 7th? Is that where we are, Ty? April 7th, 2017. Lord's not making another one. And I was telling Tyrell coming down here, I said, I got to get out that Buffalo Springfield song, Something's Happening Here. What it is ain't exactly clear. But every time we played that, they block us on YouTube. So I'm not going to do that. Ty said, well, you're going to have to sing it. So I just did. Something is happening here, and what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to be where. Hey, brothers, watch that sound. Everybody look what's coming down or going down. How did I look today without my hat, okay? Hey, here's the good news. Daisy's still alive. Now, Daisy's still alive because I'm not in town. But I got word from Michelle that Daisy had a pretty good night last night. That's another crazy thing down here. I don't even have cell phone service. I got T-Mobile, and I don't have any service, none. So, Jared, if something would have happened, I'd have been really, really messed up, except Ty came along. And he's got something called, believe this or not, Appalachian service. What? I guess that means the only people who can get on it are those that don't have any front teeth. If you don't have any front teeth and you qualify for the Appalachian internet. But I look at Tyrell, he's got good teeth, so I don't know what that's all about. So we bombed Syria. Boy, I just want to throw this out on the table here before we really dive into the word. In fact, I walked in here today without my Bible. I left it back in my hotel room. What's going on? I don't want to get too bogged down on it, but I think something really, really big is going on, folks, and I don't know exactly what it is. I still believe we haven't talked politics in a long time, although I mentioned something yesterday that I want to jump on here real quickly this morning. We've been studying the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit being within us and the Holy Spirit guiding us into all truth. And I just don't know if there's much Holy Spirit around Donald Trump. There's several factors that are weighing in on it, that I'm going to jump in here and I'm going to weigh in on. Love to hear from you and what you think about it. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you this. When this show's over, I want to be friends. You and I don't have to be twins in order to be brothers. You and I don't have to think exactly alike in order for us to be brothers and sisters in Christ. But there are some issues that we need to poke in the eye. And if we don't poke some of these issues in the eye, if we don't ask some of these hard questions that you're not allowed to ask in church, folks, listen, I'm a pretty learned guy. I didn't go to Kentucky Mountain Bible College. I didn't go to some school and get a theological degree. But I study the word a lot. Maybe I'm not real good with hermeneutics or whatever that means, or Maybe I'm not real good on that, but I say over and over, I don't believe the God, I don't believe God wrote the Bible as a mystery. I don't think he wrote the Bible in such a way that we had to figure it out. We had to, like, coming up here on Easter, like God hid Easter eggs. We got to go around, find one egg and then find another egg for this whole thing to be able to make sense to us. I think you ought to be able to pick up the Bible, read the Bible, and figure out what it says without the filter of your theology. You with me? We talked about that a little bit the other day, that we're all controlled by our theology. It shapes everything that we do. And America's in the mess we're in today. Okay, here we go. I think because our entire foreign policy revolves around the Middle East, specifically Israel. Now, they tell us it's about oil, petrol oil, and that has a lot to do with what's going on economically and financially. No doubt about it, that the dollar has been, the petrodollar has been the reserve currency across the world. That's part of the energy crisis and part of why they don't want us to drill and part of why they don't want us to open up the Gulf and drill and why they don't want us to drill in other parts, because they want to keep the price of oil very, very high, because most of the economy is based now on the petrodollar. Syria ain't playing that game. Russia sees a chance to be independent. We look across everything that's going on in the EU, that's in financial chaos over there. America is in financial chaos, even though we don't admit it. And a lot of that stuff's going on. But the big issue, I'm going to stick my toe in the water here, is the nation of Israel. I'm going to make a lot of people mad because I know we have a lot of Israel lovers in Christianity. And that, hey, hang on a minute. The fact that I criticize a black man doesn't make me racist. The fact that I criticize a white a woman does not make me a misogynist. The fact that I criticize a homosexual does not make me homophobic. And the fact that I criticize Jews does not make me anti-Semitic. Is that okay? Can somebody give me a thumbs up on that? Would that be okay if we just told the truth? And why is it in America today the only group that you cannot criticize are the Jews? Ooh, I feel it right now. I feel that thing trying to creep over the top of me right now. And our entire foreign policy in America has changed ever since 1948, when Israel was reestablished in the Middle East, by the way, kind of created out of thin air. We could get into that in another issue. And all of a sudden, our entire foreign policy became centered around the Middle East. What's going on in the Middle East? We look over in the Middle East and we took Iran and Iraq and Saudi Arabia, and they were just sand pits. That's all they were. And then they discovered oil, and we went over and developed their oil, and we built them into a power. And Iran hates Israel, and Iraq hates Israel. They all hate Israel. And so here we find ourselves with Bibi Netanyahu and Israel sitting on our lap. Except, like a little baby sitting on your lap, Bibi's controlling the parent. Israel is controlling America. Somebody give me a thumbs up, just even one of you, so I know that I'm okay here. All right? Everything we do is about Israel. And we see so many. Listen, I understand the Bible. I can read the Bible. But you do understand, don't you, that there's a great debate going on in America of who Israel is? Huh? Could it be possible that God wasn't talking about that little slice of land when he was talking about Israel? Could it be he's talking about spiritual Israel, and who is spiritual Israel? And could it be that we've taken, remember the Bible tells us that there's going to be a great deception, a great, great deception. And could be the great deception, one of the great deceptions that's come into the world is the idea that everything revolves around Israel. Now, I don't want Israel to disappear. But what would the world be like if Israel wasn't there? What would the conflicts in the Middle East look like? See, now you're thinking I'm anti-Semitic. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's not what I'm saying. And I'm trying to help you people to understand, all of my friends out there to understand, folks, the Jews are lost. We talked about that yesterday. The Jews are lost. Donald Trump's number one advisor, from what I understand, is his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Hey, Sarge, think Jared Kushner's got the Holy Spirit? No. Why? Jared Kushner is a Jew. He's a Jew. Donald Trump's daughter, what's her name? Ivanka? She converted to Judaism. All right? So Donald Trump has around him, again, Coach, watch what you say here. Those who love Israel. And I love Israel too. I'm just trying to figure out what Israel is, who Israel is. And is it part of the great deception that's coming upon the United States? Somebody jump in here. I feel somebody's got something to say.
Well, they love Israel first is the problem.
There you go, brother. Thank you, Chad. They love Israel first. Many in the church have a greater affinity and a greater loyalty to Israel than they do to America, than they do even to our own. We have a greater affinity. You can speak about any group in America that you want to, but you can't speak against the Jews. You're anti-Semitic if you did that. We went through that before, what Semitic is, right? So I got really, really mixed emotion and mixed feelings trying to figure out what the heck we just did in Syria and what that whole thing is about. And if Trump's taking the bait and switch on that one. Remember, I was a Trump supporter. I've been a Trump supporter. I'm not going to bail on him right now. But there are a lot of things to consider here. And let me run down a few of them, then I'd like to hear from you guys. Boy, do we think that there haven't been any back channel discussions between Trump, the American administration, and Russia? None of our diplomats have discussed it. See, Putin said that he didn't know we were going to bomb. Well, he can say that. Does that make it true? Nobody communicated back? Is it possible that there is a purpose and a reason from an American standpoint, from a Trump standpoint, from an ISIS standpoint, why this was done? Is it just me, or does this blow the entire Trump loves Russia lie out of the water? If Trump loves Russia, why would he go get Syria? See, listen, fellas, it is never what it appears, ever. Is it what it appears? Especially when we understand the wickedness in high places that we see in the United States of America. And as I said yesterday, if Donald Trump is not surrounded by those who are Holy Ghost filled, if he himself doesn't have the Holy Spirit, it's going to be easy to be deceived. And Chad, if he's got Israel people whispering in his ear about Israel, Israel, Israel. Somebody jump in here.
Hey, Coach, you know, a couple quick things. Jesus made it who he came for. He said, I came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then there's also another verse that says, not all who are of Israel are Israel. So without understanding the true history, and that's where Charles Jennings is going to really come in, none of us can understand who true Israel is. And
that's right.
The lot of people have bought that we have for the Israel that we think's Israel, it's just not true, and it's causing many people to be led astray, and absolutely it's part of the great deception.
Coach, can you hear me? Can y'all hear me? Okay.
So what could be that deception that the very elect would be deceived? Go ahead, Chad.
Well, I was just going to say that I think the powers to be, all the players, all the major players in this knew the attack was coming.
I think so too.
Because the minimal damage, we sent 59 Tomahawk missiles at $1 million apiece. Okay, that's $1 million. That's $59 million. That we just spent right there blowing up an airport. Okay, they only had five people got killed. Okay, you look at Love Field over here in Dallas. How many people are working there? How many people are moving in and out of that place? Hundreds, thousands. So we sent 59 Tomahawks over there. We spent $59 million to make a message on a whim. So, no, I don't think I think they got tipped off. There's no doubt about it in my mind. What do you think, Portia?
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm back in here, I think. Now, can you guys hear me? Chat, it was breaking up. I thought maybe it was on my end. Rich, give me a thumbs up if you can hear me. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, listen, can I tell you this? Is there anybody that's sitting here in this queue that really thinks Assad did that to his own people? Does anybody here really believe that? That what, with everything that's going on, with the back and forth that we see going on between Russia and Iran, North Korea, back and forth, it's Assad said, hey, yeah, this would be a good time to kill some of my... How stupid are we? Why? There's something happening here. Yes. Okay, how do I turn that off? Just hit the camera, huh? Are you hearing me now? You got... Okay. So I'm just talking now, right? I'm sorry this is so disturbing. Hey, I'm down here in the hills here. Through Jared. I don't think I am. I think I lost me. Okay, I can't, because everything seems, you can hear me, but everything seems to be, actually, I don't know. So I'm going to keep talking. Here, somebody else jump in here. Sarge, you got that old military background. From where you sit and from your perspective as a pin, what do you smell, Sarge?
I smell a setup. When I saw the video of the,
go ahead and explain it, man.
When I saw the video of how they were responding to those kids, thinking that they were going to save them by watering them down. You know, if supposedly sarin gas was one that was used, that was idiotic. It wasn't going to work, because once you're impacted by sarin, if you're close proximity, I mean, it's close to immediate death.
Yeah, and no one else has respirators at a minimum. They didn't have gas masks on, but they didn't even have a respirator. And they were touching them while they were washing that off.
Yeah.
Can I just play a devil's advocate for 5 seconds?
But first of all, the devil doesn't need any advocates, but yes.
Okay, you're true. I thought we were told that Assad had to give up and gave up all of his gas in and around 2013.
Right.
That the UN told us it's all gone.
Right.
So maybe it wasn't him.
Oh, man, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And what's the bigger picture here? So, because of that, I'm going to play a quick video here. Can I do that? Sure, I can. It's my show. It's, if you will, Jared, go to the stuff there, man, and play Prepare and Declare. This is a little video. Hey, folks, we're in really, really amazing times. Let me pause here and see if I can articulate this the right way. There are so many players on the field. There are so many chess pieces that are being moved around beyond what we can understand. I've seen the Tyrell as we were driving over here today. Hotbeds keep popping up, all of our attention in different parts of the world. What's going on? Do you realize how it is so hard, Bob, what's going on. It's part of the distraction. It's part of the deception. This new world order, these men behind the curtain, whoever it is, they are basically running bootlegs on us. Paralysis by analysis, okay? Keep you away from it. You guys that are listening here, what's going on? You're part of the game. And the average Christian doesn't get it. So here's a 6-minute video I made about 4 years ago. It's called Prepare and Declare. Go ahead and play that, Jaron.
Hi, friends. This is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer at newswithviews.tv at newswithviews.com. Sure do appreciate you spending some time with us here today. You know, folks, I'm a prolific writer. A lot of stuff I write gets posted on the internet. I do a lot of interviews. I have an opinion about a lot of different things. And I tell people that a lot of the stuff that I'm aware of, I don't even share with other people. And a lot of the questions that I have, I dig in and I try to find the answers to. But one of the things that happens to me regularly after I post one of these videos or after I write a commentary or after I'm on a radio show, I always hear from people over email in particular, and they say, well, Coach Dave, what is it we're supposed to do? What is it that you want us to do? Well, I believe we've reached a point in America today where the die is pretty much cast for the direction that we're going, that we are, in fact, under the judgment of God in America. And only a miracle, a repentance, a great grace of God can turn back the time clock on the judgment that certainly is coming down the road towards America. Now, we know this, friends, and we're already under judgment. We know that the scriptures say that when a nation's under judgment, God blinds his judges. We know that it says that. We know that the Lord said he would send a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. That's in 2 Thessalonians. And we know that in Romans 1, it talks about God gave them over to a reprobate mind. See, when he gives you over to a reprobate mind, it's already judgment. And he's already given us over to a reprobate mind in America, that we would do those things that are not convenient, that we would believe lies. That is the beginning of judgment in America. So I don't know what's coming down the road. You know, we heard a lot of threats about 9-1-1 and, you know, the ISIS was going to hit us and the Muslims were coming. And I don't know what's going to happen, whether it be a financial calamity, whether it would be some type of physical weather-related incident. I don't know. Earthquakes. Something's coming down the road, folks. And so people say, Coach, what should we do? I have two things to share with you. If you really want to do what's best for you, your family, and your friends, then you need to begin to prepare and declare. I'll say that for you again. Prepare and declare. Now, you know, that's right out of the Bible. The Bible tells us a story about the women, the virgins, the foolish virgins who did not keep their lamps trimmed. That's the idea of preparation, to look out on the horizon and understand what's going on and have yourselves prepared. And I think it would be foolish, even though they'll make fun of you, and we'll see people on TV that'll make fun of preppers and all that kind of stuff. Folks, I think for you not to be prepared for some type of calamity is a foolish thing to do. How quickly a tornado can come over a horizon, how quickly some type of power outage could hit. So you need to be, first and foremost, prepared. Number one, you need a weapon. You need to have a weapon. And, you know, I don't want to get into the debate whether or not you're going to have to shoot a law enforcement officer or anything like that. But just for purely self-defense purposes, you need to have yourself a weapon and one that you can handle. Prepare yourself with some food, 3-day supply of food, 3-day supply of water. Have an emergency plan with your family that if something were to happen, that they would be able to find you. If the grid were going to go down, or if an EMP attack would have hit, that there's no communication, that your family would be able to find you. And the second thing that you need to be able to do, folks, is you need to declare. Like no time in the history of America have we needed men and women to begin to stand up and declare the truth of exactly what's going on. For whatever reason, they scared most Christians back into the stained glass fortresses where we hide from the devil, we hide from the enemy. They ridicule us and make fun of us so that we don't speak up for what we know to be the truth. And I believe that we have an obligation to those that we love and to those who are our neighbors, that now more than ever, to declare the truth of the gospel of Jesus and to declare the truth of exactly what is going on around us, folks. We're on the verge of financial collapse. Let me back up because I forgot to throw that caveat in as far as preparation. Have a month's supply of cash available where you can get to it, that the ATMs go down, that you're not going to starve because you don't have any money. But begin to declare it to others. Begin to declare to others that trouble is coming. Wasn't it Paul Revere that we honor in America because he ran around declaring the British are coming? The British are coming? Well, folks, there's never been in a time in history more for us to stand up and declare the truth that the British are coming. And I'm not talking about just physical, natural calamities in America and the collapse of the economy and all those things that could possibly happen. But folks, we're told in the scriptures that tomorrow is promised to no man. We don't know what happened. Those 3,000 people that died on 9/11, they had no idea that that was going to be their day. If we're faithful to the gospel and faithful to our Lord and Savior and faithful to call upon our lives, we will begin once again to declare the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. I rest in the fact that no matter what happens to me, I know where I'm going. I know the situation that I'm heading towards. I don't really understand exactly what heaven and the afterlife is about, but I have great security in Jesus Christ. I pray that you would have that same peace, that same assurance, that now more than ever that we would begin to prepare for what's coming and declare the truth of the gospel to others. You'll be so glad that you did. This is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, News with You. So last night, when I went back to my room, I'm down there at Kentucky Mountain Bible College. I went back to my room last night. And I kicked on my computer, and the thing came up about Syria. And you know what ran through my head? Quickly, boom. I thought, man, you know, America could be changed by morning. Will I be able to get home tomorrow morning? Will I be able to get home? Is something going to happen? Some bomb's going to go off. Somebody's going to retaliate. And all of a sudden, boom, they're going to lock us down. So we can see that happening. Can't you see that happening? And I'm sitting right here and I'm looking out my window at a Marathon gas station. Gas is $2.32 a gallon. When the hell did that happen? It was $2.01 just 2 weeks ago. Now it's 2.31. What is it? 2.39? 2.39. And then Middle East blows up and gas goes to $12. Come on, folks. Come on. So we have to prepare and declare. We have to begin to tell others. Do you think they laughed at Paul Revere? We know they laughed at Noah. When Noah was telling them to build an ark, we know they laughed, made fun of him. They probably laughed at Paul Revere. Probably they always laugh at people who are ahead of the curve. And you're some of those folks that are ahead of the curve. Chad's going to do a teaching here, a little prep teaching for us here in a minute. Before I do, I forgot this. Beginning tomorrow, Pastor Wayne Martin is going to start a prepper pastor. Is that what it is? There's a prepper preacher, Jared. Help me out here. The preaching prepper. Go to Facebook. Preaching prepper. I'm going to do a show tomorrow. I'm going to begin at 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, be live, be a Google Hangout like this. You got to go to Facebook and just Google Preaching Prepper. Preaching Prepper. The link will be there, and you'll be able to watch the program live. Jared's got it up on the screen for us tomorrow because we do have an urgency. As we're talking about all this stuff that's going on around us, we have an urgency to prepare and to declare. Think how many people that you know within your realm of influence that are they're no more ready than as Flip Benham would say, they're no more ready than a poached egg. They don't have any idea what's going on around them. Hang on, I'm going to take my head this off. I'm going to let Tyrell say something here. I'm going to ask him a question. I know some of you want to jump in here a second. Tyrell's down here with all these young kids who are committed to Christ at Kentucky Mountain Bible College. They love Jesus, and they want to go be missionaries, and they want to change the world. But Ty shared with me last night, for the most part, they don't have any idea what's going on. Explain that, Ty.
Well, as I said, I grew up thinking I was a Christian, and a lot of us, I know, think we're a Christian, and we may do the stuff that the Bible says, what we're taught to do, and we're just doing the typical stuff of your typical church type stuff. Where when I became a real Christian 3.5 years ago, I became more aware of not just what the Bible actually said opposed to what I thought it said and what had been taught said, but I became aware of what's actually going on in the world. I mean, what's actual the warfare going on out there, the battle that the Christians are going to be up against. So, I mean, a lot of people are very completely oblivious to us because they're confined to just the church and just that.
You can only teach what you know. You can only teach what you know. When you think about the times in which we live right now, think about it. We're trying to send missionaries around the world, and I think that's important. But is there any place more lost than America? Can you think of any place where you can find more lost people quicker than at Broadden High Street in your own local town? Prepare and declare, prepare and declare. So we have all of us, even us, those of us here in the queue, we think we're really on the cutting edge. Are we doing it? Are we declaring? Are you opening your mouth? Are you sharing what's going on? Are you telling people? Are you bugging them to the point where you're piquing their interest and they're opening their eyes and they're seeing what's going on? Because I'm telling you, it's going to come, whatever's happened, when the calamity comes, it's going to come suddenly, brothers. It's going to come suddenly. And we just got so many people that are deceived. I want to open the queue. Anybody got something to say here? We'll get you up here in a second, Chad. Preaching prepper tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Pastor Wayne's got a program prepared. Somebody jump in here.
Hey, I want to remind everybody.
Can you hear anything? I'm not hearing anything in my ear, Jared.
Coach, can you hear me? No.
I can hear. I'm not hearing anything at all. Talking. I apologize. I'm not hearing it. So if I don't respond, that's why. I guess I'm saying that to Jared. I don't even know if there's anything he can do about it. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to let you. There, I got you, Jared. There, I got you. Okay, go ahead, JR. I'm sorry. Go ahead and say what you're saying.
Yeah, I just want to remind everybody of the show tomorrow. We're going to have Mark Taylor on. It's going to be very interesting. WTVORadio.com. You can go to the Minutemen website, mmunited.org, and pick up the show there. And I want to follow up on something that I was thinking about the other day, Coach, that we're sending Kushner, who is a Jew, over to the Middle East to negotiate a contract with Muslims. And that I find is just ironic. Of all the people we could send, it's just incredible that you would think that Muslims would sit down to the table and consult with a Jew. Think about that.
J.R., unless they're capitalists. You know, we have Christians that are fake Christians. We have Jews that are fake Jews. We have Muslims that are fake Muslims. Maybe at the upper echelon of these nations.
But Coach, what kind of a message?
Some of these leaders.
Just love it. I just want to make the point. I thought it was very interesting. And then what happened yesterday on top of that, there's, oh boy, I'm starting to believe those horror stories.
Yeah, I can tell you, I lived in Syria for a year, and they hate Israel. They hate Jews.
Yeah, like, yeah.
If you have a passport and you've got a serious stamp in your passport, you cannot go to Israel with that. They won't let you in. And then vice versa. If you have an Israel stamp in your passport, they will not let you into Syria. That's how much they hate each other.
Yep.
So,
Chris, maybe they don't know Kushner's a Jew. Maybe.
No, they know that. I got back in finally. They know that.
I know they know
that. I know they know that, right? There's some. They're just, again, the nefariousness that's going on behind the scenes is probably more than we understand.
Right.
Anybody else? Now that I can hear, I felt like I was walking all over people before and didn't mean to do it. Okay, Chad, you ready? You ready to jump in here, Chad? Chad's not there.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go.
Okay, Chad. Okay, folks, we're taking a little bit of time here on Fridays and just doing a little bit of a preparation every Friday, a little something else that you can do. So I've asked Chad down there in the Lone Star State to help us out here a little bit this morning. Again, folks, Preaching Prepper tomorrow at 8 o'clock. You got to find that on Facebook. And then the last call with JR, that's on at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Go ahead, Chad.
Okay. Also, folks, if you please put this program and all the other archive programs on YouTube, put it on your social media. Let's push it out. Let's get it. Let's get the outreach going, and let's bring some more folks into the ministry. All right. Well, as always, I want to do a quick review. So I'll remind you that to get your water filter, make sure you have that. Okay, and then the second thing was we discussed the other week about food, going down, getting your canned food, getting your some rice and some beans and other items that you might like to eat and be able to have those in a secure location there at your home or in your bag, ready to get home bag. Then last week we discussed how to make fire with three ways of making fire was a lighter, some matches, and then a fire steel or a magnesium fire strip, any one of those. So today, what we're going to talk about is, let's say we already have all those things. So now, how do we go about tying into the news and views report, which is ironic that that's what that was. It's about, let's talk about our guns here a little bit. Let's talk about some weaponry, how we're going to do things. But then also what we want to do is we don't want to just go out randomly and just, we don't need an armory, okay? If you have more than like more guns than you have people in your house or whatever, that's potentially, I didn't say it was exactly, but potentially a waste of your money, of your resources. When I'm assessing what I'm going to do here with my defense situation, I'm trying to look down the road and estimate what kind of ammunition is going to be available. What's going to be the popular one? Well, we know in the United States that the AR platform is the number one platform, hands down. The number two platform in the United States is the AK-47 platform. So, but today we're talking only about the AR platform. That's the one I'm most comfortable with. That's the one that the most ammo is going to be available for. So I want to discuss with you also some options that you can do with this platform to maximize it and also minimize your gear that you have with it. So we're familiar with a Ruger 10/22 rifle. You have a Marlin 60 rifle that these shoot strictly 22 long rifle out of those. There's a conversion kit. Jared, if you could push that conversion kit up there from CMMG. That's Charles Mary Mary George for all you phonetically folks. It's about the same size of the bolt carrier group that fits currently inside your rifle. You can merely break that AR over shotgun style, take that retaining pin out of the pack, fold it over shotgun style, pull the charging handle out, and pull that bolt carrier assembly, all that out of there, and slide.
So, Chad, what you're saying is they can convert their AR into an AR-22 shell.
So that's correct. Where it can shoot, that's correct. So you can shoot 22 caliber out of your AR gun without having to carry two guns. You're just carrying this boat carrier and a magazine or two. That you can see that on there. I prepared. There's a video here, Jared. It'll give you a little bit more explanation on it. Let's run that. Roll that video, please.
Really?
Super Bowl here from Four Guys Guns. I posted up that I was buying one of the CMMG 22 conversion kits for my AR. And it seems like there's a lot of unknowns about these as far as opinions and kind of the general workings of them. So the basic premise is I just take my standard AR-15, I pull my bolt carrier group in, and I slide this in. So I'm going to go ahead and drop it right in here. In, push it snap. Yeah. And now we have a 22. Just like that. Now I can afford to shoot again. Pretty cool stuff. So it came with this magazine with the kit. I bought a couple of spare mags. I haven't had any magazine issues. I've had 2 or 3 feed issues with this out of a couple hundred rounds. I haven't really put that much through it, but some of the misnomers, number one, I have Geissele trigger. Everybody says that these kind of fit the function with some high performance triggers and everything out there. So I figured I'd at least show you a couple of mags going through it. I'll show you some accuracy just so you can see kind of what we can get out of it. Make sure it's on. All right. One malfunction. And that's it. That mag's empty. We'll go ahead. Put another one down. There you go. That's been the general experience. There's little to no malfunctions, but you guys want to be able to shoot cheap. 22 is hard to find, but you find it, you got 550 rounds. So what I just went through there, 26, 26, so 52 rounds. What a cost if you get a good deal, half that. So 26 bucks. You know, 22, I just went through probably a dollar. So I'll bring it down, I'll show you the accuracy. It's not too impressive, but we're actually gonna do a comparison with the 22 upper coming up here soon. So bring it down. So that's our group. That's not impressive, but I'm not really taking my time either. But you can see we're shooting low. My gun sighted in for about 100 meters. So, you know, given we're shooting 25 feet, that, compared to 5.56, it's not a great grouping. But if you're looking for a training aid, it's certainly a lot cheaper to shoot 22 right now. You can train on what's familiar and, you know, above all else, actually get to the range instead of having to kind of search around for ammo or, in my case, not even be able to really afford it. So we're gonna have another thing, like I said, coming up. We'll be doing designated 22 upper. We'll do an accuracy Jared, comparison versus this.
Hey, let me jump in here real quickly, Chad. This is really good. Folks, listen, here's what he's saying. This is really, really important. Those of you who have AR-15s, shells about AR-15 can run anywhere from 30 cents to 50 cents. It's expensive even to go out and practice shooting them. And if you get yourself in a dire situation where you need to kill something to eat, you convert this for about $200. You convert your AR. That's what Chad's showing you. You convert your AR into an AR-22 where it shoots 22 rounds that you could use just from an expense standpoint. You understand? And this can be done very easily. That's what Chad put up on the screen for us. And then, Chad, I got a couple comments here. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Maybe you were going to go someplace, but I'm going to throw these out and then let you go. What about just a plain old home defense weapon around your house? Somebody comes knocking at your door. What, you know, go to the door with an AR-15. What should they be looking for, Chad?
Well, there's other. That's part of also what I was going to get into was, you know, always you can't go wrong with a pump gauge 12 gauge shotgun. That's that internationally that rack sound is internationally known that you're getting ready to bite off more than you can chew. So being able to handle that, but that there's a lot of recoil on that. There's a lot. And also, what I do on my own personal shotgun at home. I run what's called a candy cane load, a candy cane. So my first round that I put in will be the last one out. So my first round of my shotgun, I put a slug in there. And then my next two rounds that I have, I put in the double-aught buckshot. And then the next one I put in there, or two, is bird shot. So as I'm engaging more and more and more, I'm becoming more and more lethal with what I'm doing, because when you first start to have to shoot in your house, everyone is going to be laying down in the bed asleep or whatever, you know, you don't know what it's going to be like. So all those pellets and stuff are going to travel through your house and through stuff like that. So I start off with, you know, at close range, the bird shot's still effective. It's still very effective. But as the firefight engages, if there is one, then you can up the lethality until the threat's neutralized, basically, is what you get at. But answer your question?
It did, but let's make it simpler. Let's make it simpler, Chad. My wife's not, I'm not home right now. My wife's there alone. What type of weapon? I don't care about slugs. I don't care about bird shot. I don't care about that. What can I put in my wife's hands when I'm gone? If somebody comes to the door, she's going to be able to defend herself.
Okay. Well, for my money's worth, for women, I recommend the Glock 19. You can't go wrong with the Glock. It's a combat gun. It's an easy, manageable recoil. But you also have to look, it has to fit in their hand right. It has to feel good in it. Some women may be better off with a 380. But I just like Glock because there's so many, you can modify it so much to very personalize it.
Okay, Chad, listen, Chad, I'm going to bring you back to the first grade, okay? You start talking about 280s and Glocks. We have people listening don't even know what the heck you're talking about. Chad.
Okay.
Talk about a shotgun. What is a shotgun? My wife would know a 280 from a 490, from a 670, from a 840. What can I put in my wife's hand or somebody who's listening right now, something down to earth that they could go to their gun store and say, I would like to buy a 12 gauge pump. Take us through kindergarten here.
Okay. Depending on your frame, your body frame and body weight, okay, I'm not going to have you go down and get her, Michelle, get a 12-gauge shotgun. I'm not going to have her do that. Now, she could go with a smaller 20-gauge, okay, because if you're not able to handle the gun, it does you no good. You're just basically going to give that up to the crook. So a 20-gauge is where it's a little bit smaller cartridge, a little bit smaller recoil, and it'll be more fun for her to shoot. Because if women, especially anybody, especially but women, if it's painful, they're not going to shoot it. They're not going to shoot it. So we have to have something nice. So that's why, look, I bought my wife.
I'm sorry, broke up here on my end. Here's what.
Go ahead.
My wife ain't Annie Oakley. She ain't going to take on the whole neighborhood. She's going to have one, two, maybe three shots. By that time, she's screaming and crying. It's going to be a weapon that a person who's wakened up in the middle of the night and they have two shots, three chances. What is something that they ought to, if you covered, again, you broke up, I apologize, but go through that again, Chad.
Okay. One thing I did not mention, well, I say a 20 gauge shotgun. If
20 gauge.
She's able to handle that. 20 gauge, 2-0. Okay, because that's a little bit smaller than the 12 gauge. Not as much recoil, not as much, you know, power, not much oomph, but it's still very effective. Or the gun that doesn't jam is a revolver. If she was to have a smaller revolver that, you know, again, she needs to be holding this stuff and and shoot some of this. Some of these places that you go and buy it, you can shoot it. So that's what I recommend. Get something that you can manage. You got to be able to manage that weapon because it's not going to be any good.
Dad,
yes.
My wife will probably never point a shotgun at a person and shoot it. But is it not true that if I could train my wife with a shotgun to unload two rounds, wouldn't that scare most robbers out of my house?
Good question, yeah. Roger. Good question. My wife, and I know your wife, is not Annie Oakley. What is something she can grab and scare somebody away?
Let
me tell you something. It's not about being, it's not so much about being a great shot. Okay. It's about having the will, the attack will, the survival will. Okay. These people will respond. Your wives will respond. I guarantee they'll respond. They need the right situation, but they will respond. Believe me, they will. So, you know, they may not want to handle it practicing, but they need to know how to handle every weapon you got because you don't know which one they're going to grab to save you or save your child.
Okay, Chad, hang here. So I got somebody's listening to us right now. It's never thought about this ever before. Let's be specific here. Make it simple. They want to go. They're scared now about the Russians are coming. And they want to go get something that is going to defend their home. And they don't want to walk into the gun store and sound stupid.
Amen. I've been there.
They want to be able to walk in and say, here's what I would like to have. They don't want to walk in and say, what kind of gun? I'm ashamed to go into gun stores. I mean, these guys start talking. I get backed into a corner. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Some guy listening to us right now wants to get something for his wife. Give me something right. Hey. My wife says, hey, honey, go to the store and get 3 pounds of ground beef. She tells me what to do, right? I don't get there and I say, well, honey, do we want GMO grown? Do we want Chinese grown? What kind of, no, to go get this. So, Chad, what kind of hamburger do they go get here, bud? Some guy right now just hears this for the first time and wants to put a gun in his wife's hand that she can defend herself.
Okay. I'm going to tell her to go get – there is no one answer. There is
I know.
No one answer. She,
what would
she
you start with?
Go down there and I start with a Glock 19. Glock, G-L-O-C-K, 1-9, 19. Now, they have a little bit smaller one, but it's 9 millimeter. That's what they're looking at. And the reason it's 9 millimeter is that is the number one pistol caliber in this country. And the chances are that if you have to find ammo – It's pretty good. It's pretty good that you're going to find it. If you're scavenging through other people's houses, you're probably going to find something of 9 millimeter. Okay.
So listen, Chad. Now listen to me, Chad. Love you to death. My wife ain't going to go scavenging through houses looking. She ain't going to go scavenging. She's laying in bed. Somebody kicks in the door. She reaches over and grabs what? Now, I want her to grab something that when she shoots, it's gonna. She don't have to aim right at it, brother. You understand what I'm saying? She needs to know that when she grabs this thing and she goes, and she pulls that trigger, she got a chance of hitting something. If she has a Glock in her hand, she ain't going to hit nothing, man. So I'm talking about an initial home defense. Now, you already said it twice. Make it easy for us. A 20-gauge shotgun.
Come on.
Hey, Chad, single shot?
That's correct.
A double shot?
Yeah. You can,
what? You got to make this guy who's listening to us right now, when he walks into that store, go in there and act like he knows what he's talking about. And he wants to get a what?
Dave.
What kind of shotgun?
He wants to get it. If he wants to get for his wife, okay, he's got to get a gun to her that she can manage. And if that's a 20-gauge pump shotgun is what I recommend for your house defense for women, especially.
Okay,
but
say that again.
It's great for men, too.
Say that again.
A 20-gauge pump shotgun Remington or Mossberg is fine. Okay, 20 gauge for that shotgun is fine for women to handle. My
good.
Mom had one for Pete's sake.
Good, good. And then what do they do as far as bullets? See, they don't even know they're called shells. They would call it bullets. What are they looking for, Chad?
Okay, well, then they're going to look for, once they do that, the FBI studies. With, okay, anyway, I'm getting off here. But, okay,
yeah, you are.
So you're going to go over there, and you're going to find a box of shells. It'll say 20 gauge, 2 3/4. 2 3/4. And you want to get those with, let's say, number 4 or... Okay. Anywhere from 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Don't go anything higher than a 4.
Hey, Chad, can I walk into my gun shops and go up to the guy and say, hey, listen, I'd like a 20 gauge pump shotgun and 5 boxes of shells. Could a guy do that?
Yes.
So yes. That's really all he needs to know, right?
That's all he needs to know. And it really, the salesman there, they're used to people coming in there not knowing. So do not be embarrassed. Do not be embarrassed.
Hey, Coach.
Okay. Yeah.
Just bring somebody, bring a friend with you who knows guns, you know.
Amen.
And then you can play off them. They'll give you confidence. And then you'll be able to, you can ask them questions and they can, you know, bring somebody who knows guns with you. It's another option.
One thing too,
that's right.
One thing too I'd like to talk about, guys, is, you know, you see, I saw on like some of these doomsday preppers, or I've gone over to a friend's house and they've got a room full of guns. And to me, it's just a waste. It's just a waste. I can condense that down. I can pawn some of the, or not pawn, but I can try to sell some of those guns off. I can trade them, and then I can upgrade. Or your actual battle rifle that you have, like your AR, you need at least 3,000 to 5,000 rounds. For your pistols, you need about 500. For your shotgun, a couple of hundred rounds. Your shotgun is not your combat gun. Your combat gun is your AR, okay? That's what you're going to be, Red Dawning with, or biting the zombies. That's going to be your mainstay, okay? So that's you want to confine your ammo down to not whatever, your pistol. Don't be trying to buy it for 10 guns is what I'm trying to tell you. Because then you can't buy mass. You can't buy bulk.
So, Chad, they should buy a 20-gauge. Start with a 20-gauge, right? Defend yourself from some guy breaking into your house, I don't care how many Muslims are standing outside your door. If you can't defend yourself from the first person that comes in that door, you don't have any chance against the rest of them. And my wife, God love my wife, with her 20 gauge shotgun, she has a chance to.
Yes, with a 20-gauge shotgun, that's your best bet for a lady. Or even a youth size. They also have youth size. Could be a little bit smaller frame one also. But think about going the 9mm and for women, not for men too. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's co-ed. That round is co-ed. But, you know, women just don't have that hand strength always to be able to handle the pistol. It's just,
you know,
anyway.
I apologize for dropping in on this late, but I had errands I had to do this morning. But, you know, I see the same thing in this conversation as the same situation that we have in our theological conversations that we have in the group here. We have a lot of really good stuff that's covered, but if the people, and when we talk theology and stuff like that, but if the person listening hasn't received a strong foundation in the basics, it's not doing them any good. In fact, it may do them more harm than good. And the same thing is true on this subject. Chad got some excellent, excellent information that those who are fairly versed in guns and ammunition and stuff. But Coach was, you know, was concerned about those who know nothing. And I like your comment there about taking somebody with you that knows what they're doing. Because gun dealers I have found are kind of like car mechanics. Some of them are reputable and honest, and some all they want to do is make every penny they can out of every customer.
Yeah, Larry, I think that's a good point. Hey, I think Chad, we lost Coach. Yes, George.
Chad, the Glock 19, because I need to get my wife a gun. Does it kick a lot or not kick a lot?
The recoil on that is going to depend too on the weight of the bullet and stuff. But I would say no. I think it's very manageable for lady.
Okay, because she doesn't want something that kicks very much at all.
That's right.
We're out of time, guys. Real quick. So I'm going to end it real quick, and then we can talk after. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining. We lost Coach there at the end. So remember, the goal, be prepared. Be prepared for the future, all right? And God bless, and we'll see you on Monday.